When I know I'm loving myself, I'm doing things to make little me proud. So I'm doing things that are important to me and significant to me and specific to me and what I want. It's not so much about, you know, doing all the things that everyone else would want or that society tells me. It's like, no, like what would make me light up? What would make me proud?
Hello, my billion-dollar baby, and welcome back. So you hear that self-love is important, but why? Why do we hear that self-love is such an important thing to get everything you want in your life? How do you know if you even love yourself? How do you know what to do to really build your dreams out, to be someone that has a life they love? So today we're going to dig deep on what that looks like with a self-love expert, Rochelle Fox. So listen closely. It's going to be a great one. Thank you so much for coming today. I think it's so amazing, right? I just literally messaged you.
This was so funny how this happened today. So I literally landed 2 days ago, and then yesterday I was going through my phone and I was thinking about like podcasts, and I haven't messaged anyone, but I was people I wanted to do stuff with.
Yeah.
And then this morning I said to Beth, look, there's this one girl. We should check her out. We should message her while I'm here. And then I went to Equinox. I did my workout. Then I'm sitting in a cafe. I log on to my Instagram and you just sent me a message saying that we should do a virtual podcast.
Yes.
I sent it to Beth. I was like, what's going on? This is the girl I said I was going to message as soon as I did my story saying I was here. And then I messaged you and we're here on the same day.
I know. Literally today we just talked and it was such perfect timing. So I'm going out of town too. And I caught you right before. So yeah, I know we talked about a while ago about working together on a podcast, and I love your episodes and what you do on your show. So yeah, I'm so excited to have you on.
I'm so excited to be here.
Okay, so some of the things you talk about that I think would be really good to get into is self-love.
Yes.
So what does self-love mean to you, and why do you feel like it's important for other people to really care about self-love?
Love that question. To me, self-love means loving myself where I'm at now, but also loving myself enough to keep aiming to where I want to go. So it's loving yourself at every stage. And I don't think self-love is just like radical, just being totally okay with now and just like kind of giving up and just like surrendering that I have to just make peace with everything. It's like, well, there are some things maybe I want to change and I want to strive for things. So it's like loving myself where I'm at, but also loving my journey and where I want to go and that kind of process. So that to me is self-love. And I think it is so important because without self-love, we are just on this kind of really strange journey of going places, but not understanding why we're going there. And we're going there from a place of emptiness rather from a place of being whole. And I think that the journey is the destination. I know that sounds so, so corny, but it's, you have to love yourself at every part of the journey. You have to appreciate where you're going and you have to like get into that energy of enjoying the whole entire process of getting there. Cause otherwise you're just in this constant, like, I'm not enough. So I have to get here. I'm not enough. So I have to get there. Well, it's like, well, no, I'm enough now and I can get there. And I'm going to love myself getting there and enjoy the journey of getting there, not hating myself while I'm on the road to getting there.
So true.
And I think that for me comes down to the fact that the present moment is all there ever is. All we ever know is right now. And if you're in a constant state of hating yourself on the journey of getting to where you want to be, getting to where you're going to go is still the same moment. It's still now. So you might as well just accept yourself where you're at. And love yourself on the journey of getting there and see it more as a game.
Yeah. How does someone know if they love themselves or not?
Well, that's a very good question. I think it's different for everyone. I think we all feel love in different ways. So I think you have to ask yourself firstly, like, what does love feel like to you? What is love to you?
What is love to me?
Yeah.
Great question. It is a good question. It feels pure. Like I've been doing a lot of self-love meditation. So it makes me feel a lot of things I think about as like my inner little child. And then I put my screensaver on my phone is like a picture of me when I'm little with my sister. To like remind myself, like little old me, like be nice to her. She's like a little kid. And so I feel like it's like pureness. It's like who you were as when you were young without all these problems and all these things that you thought you needed. So it's like getting back to your core. So it's like a pure energy of like, yeah, just actual
appreciation for yourself?
So similar to my answer. So my answer is really just making 7-year-old me proud.
Yeah.
Doing it for little me. Mm-hmm. That to me is like when I know I'm loving myself, I'm doing things to make little me proud. So I'm doing things that are important to me and significant to me and specific to me and what I want. It's not so much about, you know, doing all the things that everyone else would want or the society tells me. It's like, no, like what would make me light up? What would make me proud?
Yeah, that's so true.
I think also self-love for me also, and I think people where they know if they're on a, you know, at a good place with self-love is just feeling at home with yourself and in your body, feeling like your body is home, like just being okay with being in your body and not dissociating.
So that's a huge one.
Yeah.
Because people will like run away from like being with themselves, whether it's like smoking weed or drinking alcohol or like just trying to escape from like themselves.
I think a really good indication of that is just to ask yourself, what are you avoiding and why? So whenever you're avoiding something, it's usually because you're not accepting a part of yourself. So I think one of the big things in my self-love journey and the things that I teach from a lot of my students is that what is the part of yourself that you're not fully loving? What is the part of yourself that you're rejecting or that you're scared of or that feels too heavy? So for example, maybe growing up, you were told that you're too much. So you're shining really bright and you're feeling really confident and then you're like, oh God, are people judging me? And you're wanting to shrink.
Yes.
And it's like learning to love that part of yourself that wants to be seen, that wants to be heard, that wants to glow and wants to be out there. You know, another example might be, you know, learning to love the part of yourself that has boundaries.
Yes.
Love the part of yourself that can advocate for yourself, because maybe when you do that, you feel scared and your throat like starts to close up. So it's about learning how to integrate and not judge those parts and have like space for those parts. And if you feel like you're rejecting a part of yourself, sit with it and really do the work not to do those avoiding
coping mechanisms.
Coping mechanisms. Yes. That's what I'm looking for. Yes. I think that's it's a really big thing. Whenever I see myself trying to avoid something, I just sit with it.
So give us an example so that people that like have never done any self digging and really seen like, you know, they might have like some negative thoughts, but they might not know like where they're trying to like escape from them, where they're trying to like escape from that part of them. So like what would be the first step to really seeing like, okay, I'm ignoring this part of me?
I think the first thing is really just developing self-awareness. So starting just to watch yourself and observe yourself without judgment. So for me, that literally looks like for the first week. So if you really want to do this in a big way, it's not taking action for the first week. For the first week, you just start learning to observe yourself without judgment. So it's kind of like having like a third party view and keep a little diary. When I first started doing this, I'd be like, ooh, feels jealous or feels triggered by someone, goes and eats Tim Tams. Those are really good Australian biscuits if you haven't had them. If I knew I was coming on this podcast, I would have bought you
box
of Tim Tams. But like if I was wanting to avoid something, I would like go and binge and eat food back in the day. Or feeling uncomfortable scrolling social media and dissociating. So just start to observe first and don't try and change anything. Just notice the behaviors and don't try and change everything at once. So then take that one thing, the food thing or the social media thing or the weed thing or the alcohol thing, and tackle that one thing at a time.
Yes.
Because I think so many times we think that we have to change everything and do a whole entire like 180 on our lives. And it's like Rome was built, you know, not in a day, like it was built one step at a time. So we have to just look at it and be like, okay, this is, if you're dissociating or you're trying to, you know, avoid something, then you're being triggered by that thing. And I think that all of our triggers are actually activators for our healing. So if you feel triggered by something, it's like, oh, what is this activating?
I love that.
You know, and use that as a mirror. Be like, okay, this is activating the part of myself that doesn't feel worthy in this room or the part of myself that wants to avoid this situation. And then just tackle that one thing and then develop self-compassion around it, figure out other coping mechanisms, EFT tapping, breath work, meditation, the holistic toolbox.
I know.
You know, getting into those things. And honestly, I think for me, if you have like a really close friend or you have a partner, just being vocal about the things that you're going, you know, that you're avoiding. So you can like let people know like, hey, I struggle with this. I might need some help around this.
Yeah, that's so good. That was such a good way to explain it too. Do you believe that you need to love yourself to really be fully loved by someone else?
I don't.
Okay.
Okay. I think that it is really an amazing thing to love yourself deeply, but I don't believe that you have to love yourself deeply in order to find love or anything like that. Look, I met my partner of now 12 years when I hated myself, babe. I was in the depths of my depression. I hadn't even been diagnosed with PTSD yet, which is a big part of my story. And I had bulimia, eating disorders, anxiety, panic attacks, like the whole kit and caboodle. I call myself like a mental health mix bag. And I found my partner, and I don't think I was yet fully whole in a sense that like I didn't feel whole in myself. I was whole, but I didn't feel whole. And I went on a journey with myself while in that relationship of coming home to myself and learning to love myself and also learning to love him more in the process. I think when you love yourself, you have more love to give to others. So I think if you do find love or if you get in a relationship and you don't fully love yourself, if you go on that journey of learning to love yourself, your relationship's just going to get better. We're not only yourself, but your partner, your friends, your parents, everything. But I don't think that you have to fully love yourself in order to find love. Because there are so many examples of people that have been down and out and have just, you know, found someone and they've gone on that journey with them.
Yeah.
It does take a certain kind of person to be on a healing journey with you.
I agree.
And I don't think that's always easy. I do think if you can put in the work and focus on yourself first, but don't close yourself off to love. We never know when love's gonna come our way. Yes. I think that's the beautiful thing about life. I would hate to ever tell someone that like, you have to fully love yourself first before you find someone.
Yeah, because I don't think you ever really fully get there where you're just like, oh, I'm like the perfect person. Like, I think what I've really learned along like my spiritual journey is like, you're always going to be working on yourself and you're never going to feel like 100%. And that's life. Like, you're always going to get back up and work on yourself and work on different parts of yourself.
Literally.
And like, and I think that was the most like, okay, because I think when I first started out being like, okay, I need to change the way I think and I need to not be negative so I can get to where I want to go, that I always pictured this like perfect version of me, and then I always felt like I had so much work to do that I was never there. And you always are working on yourself.
So I call that like the self-concept. So we all have a self-concept. In our self-concept, I say there's three parts. So you have like who you are now, so just like the concept of who you think you are. Then you have your future self or your self ideal. And this is the person that you want to be. It's like the vision board version of you. And then you have your self-esteem. And whenever you are trying to get somewhere, it's this bridge between like where you are now, where you want to be in your self-esteem, just finding that balance between. And our self-esteem can like throw us off, be like, you're not there yet. You haven't got it. And it's just learning to work with that self-esteem. But I don't even really focus on my self-esteem these days. I really just focus on self-compassion.
Yeah.
That for me is on a journey of self-love. It's learning to love yourself where you're at, knowing that you can evolve and that you can change and learning how to be kind to yourself on that journey.
Yes.
And knowing that it's not always going to be perfect. Like you're going to have days where it doesn't feel like it's working.
Yes.
You're going to have days where you're just like, it's not a good day today.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I think trying to have, you know, this 10 out of 10 score or just always be at like 110%, it's not realistic.
Yes.
I think if we just gradually, you know, try and get better every single day, but give ourselves that, the space and grace.
Yes. I was going to say too, like I've read about this too. So I'm curious your thoughts, but everyone's like deep, deep wound. Like everyone has a similar one as like the main one is not worthy, right?
Yes.
And so like self-love is constantly trying to remind yourself that you're worthy for the things you want, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So if someone is trying to build their career and they, you know, some days they feel good about it and they're building things they want to get to, and then there's other parts of them, like their self-esteem, that pop up and say that they're not worthy enough or they're not good enough or smart enough or whatever. What do you recommend to those people?
Okay, so I have this tool that I created. I call it the Mindspose Self-Compassioning Tool. Self-compassion repatterning tool. And this is basically a tool that you identify your self-talk. So your self-talk is that little voice inside your head. So like the inner bitch. I don't know about you, but I had the loudest inner bitch in like the beginning of my whole entire journey in this world. Like I hated myself. Like I would say the most horrible things to myself. And I just had a voice inside my head that was so loud. It felt like there was just this person inside me that was always trying to pull me down and tear me down. And I have now just created a whole entire list of rebuttals to that voice. Mm-hmm. So if that voice says, you know, you're shit, you can't do this. It's like, well, I'm trying my best and I'm getting better every single day. So if you can identify the common phrases that you say to yourself, and we all have these common phrases. Yes. So there are these weak points. Maybe we don't verbalize them to everyone else, but there's these kind of points that we would say in our head that are just there, those stories that are running. You know, one of mine is I'm dyslexic, so I'm a shit writer, or I'm shit at English, which has been a difficult one because I'm writing a book at the moment. So I had to basically identify that voice and go, okay, interesting. That's a story. That's a voice. That's something that I've been conditioned in my subconscious to believe. It's a pattern that's come up and it just keeps reoccurring. So every time that comes up, I have a rebuttal for that. Every single time I hear something like that, I have a comeback for that, because you're going to hear that voice, but it's about talking back to that voice and not just taking it in. And I think for me, meditation's been such a big tool with this, but you have to realize that thoughts are just things. Mm-hmm. Thoughts so are true. Just things. Just things.
Yeah.
They're not who you are. They're just suggestions. Like half of the thoughts we have, not even half, like I would say, you know, 80%, 90% of the thoughts we have, especially the reoccurring thoughts, these are just bullshit from social media and from our parents and from that crappy aunt that told you you were never going to be able to make it wherever you wanted to do, and that person with a shitty money story that tried to like put you down, or that friend that was jealous of you that said that thing. And then you have these thoughts that are flying around your head, these stories.
Yes.
And you have to realize that, hang on a second.
Why am I believing it?
This isn't fucking me. This is just something that someone said. And the beautiful thing about your conscious mind is you can literally, I paper shred thoughts I don't believe. I rebut them, I retalk to them, and I'll just shred them.
I love that.
And I'm just like, I'll reject that. And I just get really good in my head. I just think thoughts are just things, they're just suggestions. And you, if you get really good with being aware of your thoughts, you can just accept things and reject things.
That's great.
I love that paper shredding is my favorite visual.
Yeah. And then that's great too. And then you're right. Meditation is a huge one. And I didn't realize that for so long along like my life, of like what really is the reason people push meditation so much. And it's to put you back as the watcher.
Oh.
And the watcher is you watching your thoughts.
Meditation for me was the penny drop moment. I stopped listening to the voice inside my head. I realized that thoughts are just things. I realized that the voice is just a voice. Mm-hmm. It's not fucking me. It's just a voice.
Exactly.
The voice is a lot of the time like a lot of other people. I don't have to believe everything that the voice is saying. It talks a lot of shit. It doesn't like want the best of me a lot of the time. It's really scared up there and it's not really helping me a lot of the time, and I didn't have to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's like if you can watch your thoughts, then you're not your thoughts.
That's so true.
They're just things. They're just suggestions. So then you don't have to believe them. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that is so powerful about meditation, because it's just this idea of getting into that watcher, getting into that observer, and from that place, just being empowered.
Yes, that's so true.
And just not taking everything on as truth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I started doing self-love meditations.
Yeah?
And I've been pretty spiritual since I was like 21, so quite some time. Maybe 20 to 21 is when I really started diving deep. But I did a lot of meditations. I did a lot of like, you know, manifestation and vision board, everything you could possibly do. But I never really catered as much to the self-love, like, okay, what could I do today to make me feel love?
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't really do that as much. It's always been very career driven.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister was kind of pointing out to me, she's like, oh my God, you have to do self-love, because like your whole life is going to change just by loving yourself every day. And I'm like, okay, I really need to do this. And so I started doing it, like, and within the first like week, I saw that like everything started working more like in flow, like things just started coming to me more easily. So I know that like love is the most magnetic energy you can have. How often do you practice self-love, and what, how do you show up with yourself to do those things? Like what ways do you do it?
Okay, so we just talked about meditation, but I'd say that's like my biggest self-love practice every single day. That for me is having a date with myself every day. It's a date where I sit down with myself and I give my mind the time just to like come back down to baseline. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. Did you brush your teeth today?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Why did you brush your teeth today?
Because I need to.
Yeah, you need to.
I love brushing my teeth.
Exactly. On a scale of 1 to 10, how important is your teeth to you?
pretty important.
Yeah.
Like an 8.
Like an 8?
Yes.
Okay. And then how important would you say your mind is to you on a scale of 1 to 10?
Very important.
Yeah.
Like a 10.
Yeah. So just like we brush our teeth every single day because they're an 8, I believe we need to brush or clean our mind every single day. So for me, meditation is a form of mental hygiene. Mm-hmm. And for me, mental hygiene is a form of self-love. So mm-hmm. that for me is this date where it's just like I would spend 2 minutes brushing my teeth every single day. And that's an 8 out of 10, like you said. I'll spend 10 to 20 minutes, twice that, cleaning my mind every single day. And that's sitting with myself, watching my thoughts, watching all the bullshit that happens in there, repeating my mantra, coming back down to base. Sometimes it's not bullshit. Sometimes it's really nice. Other times it's like a,
yes,
it's a zoo up there. And I'm just like, oh, it's like 15 years. You'd think it's like getting better. And just some days, because you're always pushing yourself, you know, those fears, that insecurity, that imposter syndrome will come up, but I just sit with it and I move through it. So that's my first thing. The other thing I would say is figure out how you like to be loved. So is it words of affirmation? Is it physical touch? Is it people doing things for you? So like acts of service. So figure out how you want to be loved by other people and then like give that to yourself. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm a big one on physical touch. So I love a weighted blanket.
Oh.
I'm a hoe for a weighted blanket. Like I will lay down with a weighted blanket and just be like, yeah, touch me. I brought like my cow today.
He's so cute.
Because I knew her on the bed. My girlfriend gave me this because she knows I'm like a child. So this for me is like a comfort thing.
Yeah. That's so cute.
A child on your podcast, but yeah. So just little things that you figure out, like what did you want as a child, you know?
Yes.
How could you give that to yourself? I think as well, if you are on a journey of creating something for yourself, but maybe you don't have it yet, give yourself the time to see it in your mind's eye. Mm-hmm. So visualization for me is a form of self-love because that's me dedicating myself to my dreams. Mm-hmm. It's seeing myself in my dreams. It's envisioning myself. It's allowing me to feel those feelings. Mm-hmm. I also think boundaries.
Yes, that's a huge one.
Ooh, boundaries. That's I think when you really learn to love yourself and respect yourself, you learn to respect your time, how you want to be treated, and you advocate for yourself. Mm-hmm. And you get loud with that. And I encourage people to get loud with boundaries. And I think boundaries are so important. And I think that you have to realize that if you don't want to do something and, you know, you feel like you have to, well, it's actually not only just a service to you, but it's a service to the other person to put in a boundary to not do it. Because if you don't want to be there, then energetically you shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. So it's just about those little things really help me.
Those are all such great ones. I want to dig into meditation
because
I think there's so much like, I would say I'm like a very spiritual person and even I mm-hmm. need to be more conditioned on meditation. So I would imagine people listening are like, okay, let's dig into that.
So what I do every single day and I have done now since I learned meditation 2011.
Okay.
Is I do mantra-based meditation.
Okay.
So my practice is I'll sit down for 2 minutes and I'll just focus on my breath, just coming fully here in the moment, remembering these are my toes, these are my ankles, I'm in a body, I'm a spirit having an experience, like I'm in the flesh puppet. Yes. Let's just like come back to this thing, right? So I get inside my body first. And I usually do that with my breath. Sometimes I'll do like a butterfly little pattern across my chest just to like really like calm my nervous system down. And then I'll start a mantra. And a mantra is just like a meaningless sound that you repeat in your mind over and over. And I keep my awareness on the mantra. Mm-hmm. And the mantra for me is really the vehicle that allows me to quieten down that monkey mind, all of those thoughts. So it's a practice of awareness of going back to the mantra. And when I have thoughts, I just see them as things, I let them pass, but I return back to the mantra. And if you keep going back to the mantra over and over again in something like mantra meditation, that voice will start to quieten down. Mm-hmm. The voice inside is like a little puppy, right? So it's, imagine the mantra is like a chew toy and you keep throwing the chew toy to it back and forth, eventually it'll just calm down, wow. right? And it'll just like slower. And then you get into this like deep state. Look, for me, when I have thoughts that come up during meditation, I just see them as things and mm-hmm. I just like let them pass. I just realize that they're not actually me. That said, if I have a reoccurring negative thought, if there's something in my subconscious that keeps coming up, then I'll go deeper into that and I'll do something like EFT tapping or I'll do some journaling on it. I'll mm-hmm. start to see like, what is that? Why is that coming up? Like, where is that coming from? And like, how can I work through that?
Okay, there's so much to talk about.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What is an example of a good mantra for someone? Because people might be like, I've heard some of those like hum ones and stuff, but I've never really done them, or I don't feel like I resonate with it as much for some reason. So I end up just, if I do a meditation, I just listen to like peaceful music and then try to like clear my mind. But like, what's a good mantra you've done?
So if you want a more traditional mantra, so I like to practice meditation in a way that anyone can do it, whether you're from any religion or whether you're not religious or anything at all. So a lot of the time people just use more of like a Hindu mantra. So something like, so, and that's a really harmonious sound. It's like a beautiful sound in the mind. So, but a lot of the time I have students that don't want to use a mantra like that for whatever reason. And I just get them to repeat something like love. Love, just over in the head, or choose a word that they're trying to embody. Yes. And just have that as your word that you say over and over and over again. You just keep coming back to it.
And so how long do you do that for?
20 minutes.
20 minutes?
Yeah, 20 minutes, girl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But it's really powerful because when you use a mantra or a sound or a word, or it could be an affirmation, it could be anything, right? When you use something as a vehicle to come back to, what it does is it entertains that part of the mind that wants to get distracted, right? And then it's this attention practice of coming back to this focal point, coming back to this focal point. Another way you could do it is just focusing your breath in, out, in, out, and just stay with the breath in, out.
Yes, that makes sense. Okay, so.
Or another one.
Yes.
Peace begins with me. Peace begins with me. That's a Kundalini one, but it's just really, really simple. I often do this one when I was in the beginning of my self-love journey. I was really triggered by everyone. Everyone was triggering me. I thought that like the world was out to hurt me. I hadn't yet taken responsibility for my shit. So I was seeing everyone as a trigger. I used to just be sitting there and having conversations with people and I'd be tapping my fingers. Peace begins with me. But a lot of my students, if they don't want to use a traditional mantra or something like love, this can be very helpful, especially if you have like ADHD or something like that, if you feel like you can't really focus or you're having trouble just with something mentally, to have that touch point. Peace begins with me. Peace begins with me. And you just gently go through it.
So when you do this, give us an example for people listening. Like, what do you feel like at the end of doing a 20-minute mantra?
It totally depends on the day.
Okay.
So it's not, I think this is one of the biggest things with any form of meditation. Drop the expectations. I think we have this idea that meditation is meant to be this holy almighty, like at the end you're bliss, you're a monk on a mountaintop, you know, and that's, hey, I'm not telling you can't get there, but I think it's just like we wake up and we have this, you know, knowing that like, yeah, today we have an intention, today's going to be a good day, but not every day is a good day.
Yes.
Meditation will meet you where you're at. So if you're really stressed and anxious, maybe the meditation at the end, you still might feel a little bit like that, but your nervous system and your mind will have calmed down. So I think meditation isn't about getting to a certain feeling necessarily. It's having the intention. It'd be nice to get there, but just showing up, just how you'd show up for a workout, workout or something like that. Just showing up regardless of how you feel on that day and just sitting with yourself.
And what are the huge shifts that you've noticed by consistently practicing meditation?
Oh my God, everything.
Really?
Oh yeah. So meditation for me was my, like, meditation saved my life. It changed everything for me. It made me realize that, you know, I'm not the voice inside my head. Like I said, my thoughts are just things. And that I was in this body, but I wasn't this body. Mm-hmm. So much more than this body. Like, we are all so much more than this body. And I have so much love for this like flesh puppet that is Rochelle Fox. Yeah. But at the same time, like, it's just a vehicle to experience whatever this is. And I love whatever this is, but like, this doesn't define me. And it's nice to dress up and do things and have fun with, but it isn't the end of the experience.
Yes, that's huge.
There's such a transcendent experience when you go within, when you start to just like love yourself and you know, listen to yourself on a deep level. My intuition developed. Before I learned meditation, I had no idea what my intuition was. I just thought that intuition was like this, oh yeah, this woo-woo thing. Now I get this like deep feeling in my heart when things are right. You know, today, like I was like, yeah, no time to get ready for a podcast, but we're gonna go. This feels good. My intuition's excited about this.
Yeah.
So I think that you learn to differentiate from the voice out there and the voice in here.
That's huge.
Which is your heart. Mm-hmm. You know, my heart speaks to me so much more these days. Other things of meditation, oh, you just give less of a shit. Which is a really good thing on planet Earth, because there's a lot of people that give a lot of shits about a lot of things that they really shouldn't give a shit about, and they ruin their day and they ruin their experience and they mm-hmm. ruin like what this thing is. And this is a really cool experience. Like this is, yeah. It's really fun being human. And yeah. I think sometimes we kind of ruin it with just like overthinking and worrying about things and you know, forgetting just to be here now in this moment and appreciate what we have.
Yeah.
It taught me how to be present.
Which is huge too.
Oh, I didn't know what the present moment was before I learned meditation. I was always trying to get to this moment and that moment. I'm like now I'm just happy here.
Yes.
And I'm enjoying here. And I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring and I'm excited about it. But I'm just like, I also just like this moment. And how can I get the most out of right now?
Yeah, what's huge is like I did a 10-day meditation and it's funny because when I did it the first day,
yeah.
And by the way, you couldn't like write, read, look at anyone in the eyes. Like they wanted you to fully like go into yourself.
Oh, go, you went deep. Yes. Yeah, I love that.
But when I did it, like I remember the first day, it felt like 5 days. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, this is only day one. How am I going to do 9 more days? Oh my God. And then you start having like very anxious, worrying thoughts like, there are some dark things that came up, like, because your mind really wants to, like, scare you. And that's so normal.
Yeah. It's not always fun.
So what's cool about you saying, like, it's you get back to the present is, like, time flies and, like, our life flies so quickly. Mm. And so when you can get back to the present and see that time actually isn't as quick as we're allowing it to be because we're not focused on the present, like you then could be in the moment and really like enjoy your life again.
100%.
So that's what it sparked for me when you said like you didn't even know what the present was before and now you do, and like the present moment is like beautiful and it's like going past us so quickly when we're not here.
Yeah, but I think people have this idea that when you're going to get to where you want to be, it's going to be a different moment. It's going to feel different. It's like, no, this is the thing with, you know, like I'm so big on manifestation, you know, and I love all of that, but I'm more obsessed with things like meditation and being present. Like that's the vehicle that got me excited about manifesting.
Yes. But
I'm excited about manifesting because I realize that if I learn how to be here right now and enjoy this moment, when I get to all those things that I want to get to, they're just going to be this moment. I'm still going to be me. I'm still going to have all the head noise. Like whenever you get to that dream and you achieve that thing, you buy the house, not like everything perfectly falls into place. You're still you.
Exactly.
You know, you're still you with your same thoughts and your same insecurities and, you know, your busyness. Like if people don't realize, like if you don't learn how to be present now, when you get to where you want to be, you won't know how to be present then.
So true.
So it's like learning how to be here right now.
Yeah. And then it's like, why did you do all that work to get to where you want to be if you're not even going to be with it?
Yeah. And enjoying the journey. Just like finding joy in like, oh, I'm here. This is good. I'm enjoying the process.
Yes.
I think that's another thing, especially when it comes to success. Like I'm sure you have so many people that listen to this podcast that are go-getters. And that's the thing I love about your community. It's just like, yeah, we're going for it. And I think that that's such a beautiful thing. And I'm so about that.
Yes.
And I think meditation just helps you get more out of life. Mm-hmm. It helps you like feel into the space more. It helps you take up space.
Yes.
And take up time.
Yes, I love that. What is something big that you're working on now for your like self-growth?
My self-growth? Well, I'm writing a book at the moment.
Yeah, that's huge.
And I think that is a it is a mountain.
Yeah.
It's called The Magnetic Mind.
Oh, I love that.
It's publishing in January 16th with Penguin in the UK.
Whoa, that's so cool.
Yeah, so Michael Joseph that's and so Penguin. Cool. So I landed a book deal, which is so exciting. So yeah, it is, that has brought up so much shit inside me in such a good way. It's been such a illumination of all the places that were blocked in my own psyche, and it's been a process of like working through every single piece of those things that are coming up and mm-hmm. just healing anything on the journey of writing this book. And that's been really interesting. I've done a lot of work on my self-concept during that. Like I said, I have dyslexia. How about that? Since I was yes. really young, and writing a book with dyslexia is a ride, you know, and I've tried the whole, like, I'm not dyslexic, and it's like, it's okay. I am dyslexic, but that doesn't define me. And I yes. think that's been so beautiful just to sit with that and to learn how to navigate that as someone that has such a passion for writing and all the topics that I'm so interested in. I want to yes. get my message out, and writing and speaking, it's such a powerful way to do it. And yeah, that's been an absolute ride with sitting with all of my insecurities, all of my imposter syndrome, where I'm feeling very vulnerable with my writing mm-hmm. and just allowing that all to come up and process that, and learning how to just be in integrity with everything that I'm writing and making sure that it's all coming from like a really heart-centered place. I actually went off social media for a bit to do that, which was really powerful.
Wow. Yeah. I've heard that some writers will like literally go into like seclusion to like allow themselves not to have any writer's block.
I have ghosted my socials, which yeah. I don't recommend. Consistency is key. But for me, I think that I really didn't want to be influenced by other people while writing this. And I've been doing more certifications. Like I said, I'm doing yes. my EFT certification and other things. And yes. I've really wanted to be in this space of, it's funny, today is really interesting for me because I have not been in my teacher space. Mm-hmm. I've been in like student space oh. now for like the last 4 months. Like I just haven't been doing my podcast. I haven't been giving at yes. all to anyone. I've just been pouring into myself.
Oh, I love that.
Which is really nice. I think that that's one thing I've learned a lot in my self-love journey, just to realize like, what do I need mm-hmm. as well, especially when you're serving? Because, you know, everything that, you know, you do, I do, we're all serving in some kind of way. We're showing up, making sure that you're serving yourself yes. and you're pouring back into yourself so you don't end up pouring from an empty cup.
So true.
Or you don't just end up, you know, doing shit work or regurgitating something from someone else, just making sure that it's coming from like a really ingrained place. So yeah, that's my big adventure at the moment, the magnetic mind.
So what is the magnetic mind going to be about, if you can give us a yeah, highlight for everyone course. So they stay tuned?
It is a book that is all about teaching you how to use your mind to become magnetic. It's about teaching you all the ways that your mind is magnetic and all the ways that you attract or repel the reality that you're wanting to create. Mm-hmm. So it's really a how-to book on how to rewire your subconscious. So it's going deep into, you know, our belief systems, all of the things that you are holding on to, all those niggly things, and understanding like, where did that come from? How can I release that? Yes. So it's been a really beautiful ride. It's made me very challenged in some ways, but yes. in a really powerful way. I feel like writing a book is... what the word do I want to use? It's like a voyage.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a big deal. Yeah. It's a lot. It's like, it does feel like a whole journey.
It does. It's like I'm 50,000 words at the moment.
Wow.
And you write that, I think, versus social media where you're so instant. Writing a book is so old school, especially mm-hmm. when you're writing with like a traditional publisher. Like I love my publishers. They're amazing. But it's like, no one sees this thing.
Yes.
No one sees anything. So you're just with your own thoughts, in your own energy, pouring into yourself. And yes. I've had to really, just like lean on my own toolbox.
I love
in this
that
whole
though.
Entire process.
I feel like it's a big growth moment for you to yeah. like put yourself in that position.
Yeah, it's really fun though. I've loved the, I keep saying it's not the whole process hasn't necessarily been dedication. It's more devotion, mm-hmm. which has been so nice. It's just like, I'm just devoted to just showing up to this thing every single day. And even when I don't feel like it, which is, I think, a key thing of self-love. Like you have to realize on a self-love journey, you're not always going to feel like it.
Yes.
And that's okay.
So true.
It's just about showing up regardless and showing up where you're at. Some of my best writing has come from when I've had a day where I'm like, I suck at this.
Yeah.
Everything sucks. And I've sat there and then I've written some really good stuff. And
oh,
I'm like,
that's cool.
Wow. Like, and that's all coming from the fears or the insecurities or whatever I'm feeling on that day. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes people feel like with social media or any way that you're showing up, whether it's in business, you think that you have to be perfect or you think you have to be always on a high flying disc. And I think it's great to have a high vibration. I'm all about raising my vibe.
Yes.
But I think one of the most powerful things we can do in this point in time is be vulnerable, mm-hmm. not only with ourselves, but with our audience mm-hmm. and with the world, and realize that like we're all human, which means that we all are flawed. We all have a mess. Yes. We all have some kind of skeleton in the closet, whatever you want to define that as. Yes. We all have things that we don't like about ourselves, and learning how to just be human in that mm-hmm. and like see other people in their humanness, I think is so important. And I think if you judge other people for their humanness and their mess and things coming up. It's like, well, you're also just judging yourself.
Yes.
So it's what about them is triggering you?
So, you know? Such a big point.
What is about them, how they're reacting or how they've been canceled or the way they said something? One of my key practices is I bless other people's abundance. Mm-hmm. Like I see someone driving a nice car, I bless your abundance.
I walk into
your house, like literally in my head, I bless your abundance. Wow, we came through a beautiful gate like this. I like this place. Like I'm happy for you. Like I don't have that in me anymore because I think competition and jealousy and I still feel that sometimes.
Yes.
But I've just done such deep work at realizing that someone else shining doesn't take anything away from me.
Yeah, that's lackful mindset to think that because they're successful, you can't be. Or like I look at it as a trigger. It's like, well, why am I getting jealous? Then do I not think I can have that?
Yeah, exactly.
And so like you, by cheering other people on, it's like celebrating it within yourself that it's possible.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't realize that we have like a thing called the reticular activating system. Is it that you're seeing competition or are you just seeing confirmation that it's possible for you?
That's cool.
Is the RAS just showing you what you actually want to see? Mm-hmm. And people, if you have low self-worth or if you are in a space where you're in a lack mentality, you will take that confirmation as competition or as like, oh, I need to shrink. There's not enough room for me. So I think I always say to people, like, just ask yourself, are you seeing that because it's confirmation or competition?
Okay, so there's something I like to do every time. Mm-hmm. Close your eyes and tell us where you will be in 3 years from now. It's a manifestation moment.
All right, 3 years from now, I'll be writing my second book and I'll be speaking on stages all around the world.
I can so see that for you.
Yeah, I'll be speaking on stages all around the world. I have an app called Manifesty, so hopefully that will reach hundreds of thousands of users. And yeah, I'll be speaking on stages, sharing my love of meditation, teaching people how to develop their magnetic mind, and just connecting with more like-minded people and just really helping other people elevate themselves. I think that's one of my biggest goals and something that I'm really passionate about. It's like helping people tap into their potential and realize that, you know, if someone else can have it, you can have it too.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What do you feel like is your billion-dollar quality that got you to where you are today?
I think my billion-dollar quality that got me to where I am today is just never growing up fully.
That's great.
Being a little kid on the inside, not taking life too seriously, seeing the whole thing a little bit as a game, and just having fun with it. I think that's, for me, something I'm always just having fun with it. And I always say, like, I only get one shot as Rochelle Fox. And you only get one shot at you.
Yes.
And I don't know if we come back. Maybe we do. But we don't know, okay? I'd like to sit here. I am no guru. I do not know, right? And if I don't know if I'm going to come back, then all I know is that there's just one gameplay as me. And you've got one gameplay as you. So why not just go like all out, have fun, and stay childish and enjoy the journey along the way?
That's like my favorite answer I've gotten, by the way. That's a great one. Yeah. I love being childlike. It's important. It's like makes life fun again. I know I have teddy bears everywhere.
It's just, I think
people are like, I was thinking about it when I first started my podcast. I'm like, people are going to be like, why does she look like a kid with teddy bears? I'm like, because.
This is why we're on this podcast together. Got the same energy on that. I think it's so important.
Yeah,
when people fully grow up, I'm like, I'm so sad for you. Yeah. No, like have fun again.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's so important.
Okay, so you have a book coming out. Yeah. You have your podcast. You have an app called
Manifesty. So Manifesty is all about creating a reality. We have this thing called manifestation movies, which is like the main tool. And manifestation movies are all about creating a vision board that comes to life. So you choose a track. We have all these high vibe tracks in there. You choose affirmations and then you choose your visuals. And then it plays a movie every single day and that helps prime your subconscious mind, helps activate your reticular activating system and just get you to where you want to be. And we have
I've manifested things with that. So that's a huge... People should check that out.
Yeah. So I love the app's really fun. I think it's so cool to have created code that helps people visualize and create their own reality.
That's so cool.
I always wanted something. I wanted something that people could go on where they felt, oh my God, this is like my creation space. This mm-hmm. is my no social media, no feed, no input. Like this is just like where I get to create.
I love that.
Yeah. We also have this new section in the app called Journeys. So we have this like 28 day identity shifting journey. And that's all about helping you shift your identity to like the person that you really want to become. Because I think at the end of the day, if you want something, if you want to create something in your life, you want to create a business, you want to be an influencer, you want to write a book, it is all about becoming the identity of the person that has that thing.
So true.
And I think when you can just like focus on identity work, that's like, whew, huge shift.
Okay. And you coach people, right?
Yeah.
So you coach people, you have an app, you're writing a book, you have a podcast, you're doing a lot.
Yeah. So I have like Mindspo, I have the podcast, and yes. that's sort of like my personal development school. Then we have Mindspo Retreats, and we run retreats all around the world. So we've run them in Greece and Cyprus.
That's so cool.
Yeah. In Bali. And I love the retreats. I love in-person community. Yes. I think when humans get together, cool shit happens.
I agree.
I think that's...
Especially all people like on the same frequency, like looking yeah. to do the similar things, whether it's to like heal parts of themselves or love themselves. So like being around that energy is so powerful. You yeah. grow so much around that.
And I think just being around other women that are on a like personal growth journey and are wanting to like face their shit. Oh, I love that.
Yes.
I just like when women just like get raw and real, no bullshit. Like, oh yeah, I fucked this up. This is going on. It's so powerful. So we have the retreats company and then yeah, the app Manifesti and writing a book at the moment, which is my mountain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so everyone, please go find her. She has so many amazing things to go look at. I found her on social media and I love your podcast. And so everyone should go check you out and let them know where they can find you on socials.
Okay, so on socials, I'm Rochelle_Fox. And then my other company is Mindspo or Manifesti app.
Yay. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You're the best. You're so lovely. Your energy is amazing.
This was so fun.
Thank you so much, my billion-dollar baby, for listening to today's episode. I hope you really enjoyed this one and really look inwards to have some self-love. Let me know in the comments which parts resonated with you the most, and I'll be reading and replying, and then I'll see you next Tuesday.